Well, I am glad to be back. I mean that. I say that everywhere I go, but I mean it here. And this is always a treat for me to get to come home. And got to see my dad yesterday, got to see my brother, and got to see my sister-in-law. And in that order, I was excited to see him. And but got to see the young people from Curtis Corner. And boy, what a blessing it was to me personally to see this auditorium filled to capacity and then some. Extra chairs being brought in. I don't know what I expected. Last week, I know it was on short notice. The youth rally was planned in addition to me being here on a Sunday. And then we had a good crowd with the short notice. And then this year, I was downstairs. I got here just about 15 minutes before we started. And boy, a whole lot happened in the last 15 minutes. And of course, Baptists are perennially late arrivers, fashionably late. And so, but anyway, thanks for having me back. Got to be here last summer with the tour group and then back for the youth rally in October last year and now back. And boy, just not unlike last year. What a beautiful Sunday morning. And boy, I thoroughly enjoyed going to McDonald's. I went to two of them. I went to McDonald's and in Plymouth. I went to McDonald's in Carver, and we had three large Diet Cokes, so I'll have to stop on the way back. And so I get so homesick and every imaginable emotion and love New England. And, of course, five of the six New England states were here, and Connecticut wasn't. And so I almost don't include them when I say New England, because they're just overrun with Yankee fans. And we've got some rebellious Yankee fans here, we recognize this morning in Sunday school. And so they got swayed to the dark side. And so let me check the time and push a button here. And we will finish on time. And for several reasons, not the least of which is I'm excited about watching the New England Patriots pummel the Buffalo Bills. And if they don't, I'll slip into a deep, dark depression and probably won't be able to make it back tonight. And so if they don't beat the Bills, I will be more emotionally affected than I ought to be. I like sports. I said this last year, I know, but my office in Hammond, Crown Point, actually at the college, is a New England sports shrine. And I shouldn't like it as much as I do, but I can't help it. And it's got every imaginable paraphernalia and everything from the rugs pointed toward the east where I pray daily towards New England. And so, but it's good to be here. Thank you, boy. Brittany and organized a gift bag for me yesterday. And that was just, I know she got a hold of my daughter, which I appreciate her thoughtfulness in doing that. But just everything, all my favorites were in there. She even scrapbooked kind of a planner for me, and that was great. And I certainly used those in 2011. Yeah, the planner was 2007, so I think she got a good deal on it. And just kidding. And so, Patriots, welcome, Matt. That's awesome. So Hampton Inn, that's one of my favorite hotels. And Olive Garden, got to go back there last night. Seafood Alfredo, just doesn't get any better than that. And so I feel spoiled, so thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Brother Joe let me borrow his truck. In fact, he gave me the keys. He never used the word borrow. I don't want to be presumptuous, but I've canceled my flight back. I'm driving back. And if I could have a vehicle, and I have four of them that I insure with my two daughters, but if I had my world favorite vehicle, I guess it'd be an F-150 just like that one. And you're going to have a hard time getting the keys back. I don't know where Brother Joe goes. Is he downstairs with the youngins? And he's going to another church in the area. And I was listening to his music this morning. We were listening to coming from the airport, and I Believe God. Boy, I listened, I think, about six, seven times. I was telling the teenagers, and it was awesome. And I was getting goosebumps, and just, again, being in New England, and I Believe God. And it touched my heart to see all the New England teenagers specifically together. And so I was just getting happy. And then it switched tracks on me. It went to a different CD, and I kept trying to get back to that one CD, and I was pushing all sorts of buttons. So I think it's got heavy metal in there playing it. And so that's my alibi. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And so turning your Bibles, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 22. I know we covered this last year, but I am a deaf interpreter's worst nightmare. We have Brother John Cooper at Kyle's Innocent College, and I like to see their hands start to smoke a little bit and combust. And that illustration where Brother Hiles talks about failing, I failed and I failed and I failed and I failed. And then he just keeps going, I failed and 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 I failed failed and I 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 failed. And so anyway, I'm a sick man. Pray for me. And so, all right, Ezekiel chapter 22. This is a, I've not preached this message, I know, in 6 years. I could tell by a little addition problem I did on the message, and I'll preach a different variation of it. But this is one of those classic recognizable texts. I was just telling the preacher boys and preaching too at the college last week. I said, don't shy away from those classic texts because they've been preached by every preacher. And sometimes it's attached to a certain preacher. Amnon had a friend, and I think of three or four preachers that have kind of made that famous, and your people, they're not going to have heard them, so they need to hear it from you. It's such a great principle. But this is recognizable. Ezekiel, of course, is in captivity. He's about 50 miles north of Daniel in Babylon. And so God is speaking kind of in past tense terms that I was looking for a man. The reason you're in captivity is because of this. Let's go ahead and begin reading in verse number 23. And I'll read aloud and you can follow along silently, please. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon a day of indignation. And of course, there's a drought. And again, of course, it's talking about the nation of Israel. And but you can't help but transition and make an application to the country you find yourself in, which is America, of course. And there's a drought, there's a spiritual drought, in a sense. I know we're seeing lots of statistics, but 75% of the world, if you want to apply it to the whole world, 75% of the world's population has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. 60% of the world's population has never heard the name Jesus Christ, which just happens to be the only name given among men whereby we must be saved, a name which is above every name. That's hard for us to imagine in America. You consider the billions in China and in some portions of India, but not just that, Japan. We had a young man that traveled with us and his parents, and he's there now, back there as an adult, missionaries to Japan. And he said, even Japan, they could tell you who Michael Jackson is or was, and Elvis Presley, and some of the stars that have past their prime here are still popular there, but they can tell you all the Western stars and all the Hollywood actors. And of course, when we occupied Japan in 1945, Douglas MacArthur, and turned them into a Western power, they beat us at our own game, especially I think of the 70s and building automobiles and motorcycles and radios. But he said, you send me 5,000 missionaries, I'll make Japan a Christian nation. And you could count on one hand how many people showed up. They have 200,000 gods, and in some cases, most cases, it's not the right one, the only one. And Steve Carter, the young man I'm talking about, said it's not uncommon to go up to Japanese people and for them never to have heard the name Jesus Christ. And so that's hard for us to imagine. And so them being so westernized, for sure. But there's a drought, for sure. But verse 25, there's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things that they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. And Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. And we've got a world turned upside down. Right is now attacked. And if you promote too much right, you're probably a part of a cult. And the liberal crowd says, and wrong has been not only tolerated, I mentioned it yesterday, and condoned, but it is promoted, it is protected, it is applauded, it is paraded, and you're not allowed to say anything derogatory against it. And so it's just a cattywampus world turned upside down. I was telling the young people, well, you have an obligation to study from whence we came, the greatest generation, that World War II crowd, that Depression crowd, greatest generation because of what they went through. But they didn't want their kids to go through what they went through, and so consequently we have a decadent society. But we have an obligation to study from whence we came, and then we'll realize where we're going. And let me continue. And put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes, verse 27, in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood. and they're supposed to be shepherds protecting the flock, but they've turned into wolves and they attack the flock and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. And their prophets have daubed them with untempered water, seeing vanity and divining lies, and unto them saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. These people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the strangers wrongfully. And of course, we recognize verse 30, most of us. And I sought for a man. This is an omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent God seeking for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But the verse tragically ends with the phrase, but I found none. Ezekiel and Daniel were perhaps too young. They were deported as young men. Ezekiel in a later deportation. Jeremiah was alive, but evidently he didn't suffice for this job. Perhaps he was too old, arguably. And God said, I poured out my indignation, and you are in captivity as a result. And Ezekiel knew that. But I sought, I looked for a man and couldn't find one. And that's a tragic verse in America. I wonder if God was looking for his man, if he could find one. And I'm not talking about the call to full-time Christian service. I'm not talking about necessarily the pulpit of the 21st century. I'm not necessarily talking about that today. And I realize I'm talking to lay people for the most part. But America, it has been once said, is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. And we got to be careful about that. I mentioned yesterday, Noah saved the whole world because he saved his family. He's to the saving of his household in Hebrews chapter 11. He was a savior of his house. He had no converts to show in 120 years of soul winning except his family. And because he saved his family, he saved the world. You know, if the only thing Brother Weeks had to show for his ministry was his family, that'd be a pretty good thing to show for it. Dr. Pete Cowling taught at the University of Tennessee for many, many years and transferred to Hiles Innocent College and took a 75% pay cut when he came there, because that's what it's all about. And the University of Tennessee, Teacher of the Year, Professor of the Year, to go to Hiles Innocent College. And he said, Chris, if I could find a better place to raise my kids, I would have gone there. So that's a wonderful place to get your, and I'm not promoting Hiles Innocent or First Baptist Church at this point, but church, I'm talking about the will of God. And get your kids there, keep them there, get your family there, and save your family. Sometimes we shoot right past our family. I won't save the world. Others, Lord, yes, others. What about the most significant others? And though the ones right beside you, your most significant other, your spouse. And so, but I sought for a man. The Bible talks about different kind of men in the Bible. I want to be the man. I want to be the man. I want to be the pastor. I want to be the CEO. I want to be the boss man. I want to be the man. And to be careful what you ask for. And I think of Nathan, the man of God, when he pointed his long bony finger at David, and 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7, he said, David, thou art the man. And David's heart sank in knowing that his sin was exposed, the sin of being with Bathsheba and having her husband killed Uriah. And so, the man. And so be careful about that. Sometimes we're well intentioned, but even Satan himself said, I will be like the Most High God. I want to be like God. What do you mean by that? And so be careful, and ultimately our incentive is selfish and self-serving. And, you know, my life verse is, and I signed it many times yesterday, and you got to get over that real quick for sure. I've signed my own Bible, not because I have real high self-esteem. It's because some smart old teenager grabbed it, got in line, and I'm just signing Bibles and signed my own. And that's pretty egotistical, but I didn't know it. Then they sign it in pencil in case they want to erase it later on. Sign it in whiteout. You got to get over that. I tell preacher boys the same thing. But, you know, the man, I want to be the man. But my life verse, as I was saying, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I have enough faith to realize that God will do a better job of exalting me than I ever could. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. I really want to be exalted, so I'll let him do it. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. So my incentive for humbling myself is selfishness. And so, see, that's where we're always at. And don't be so analytical to the point where you it's paralysis by analysis. But that's where we're at. And the Bible talks about some man, Acts chapter 8. You know, not turn there, I'll just reference the scripture. Acts chapter 8 and verse 31. Philip comes across a man from Ethiopia, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading Isaiah 53, so like coming across someone reading a tract. And he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And immediately Philip ripped open his shirt, and he had a big S on his chest, and he said, "I am some man." That didn't really happen. But he said, "Come on up," and he read to him, he preached on him Christ. And he got saved. "Here's water. What preventest me from being baptized?" He said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And they went down into the water and baptized him after he trusted Christ. He said, "I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And so, but some man. And boy, by the way, anybody can be some man. You don't have to be Superman. And again, this is kind of lends itself to teen preaching, and forgive me, but if Superman is so smart, how come he wears his underpants on the outside? Think about that. But Superman and Spider-Man and Stretch Man and Iron Man and Policeman and Fireman and Garbage Man and Pokeman and Dennis Rodman. And I know, I'm stretching it. Most of those people are fictitious. I was went downstairs talking about the God-Man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Talk about a superhero that's non-fictional, non-fake, actually exists. And is the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, a real hero. Some man, anybody can be some man. Anybody can take a track and say, can I give you that? There's some verses right there to tell you how you know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. By the way, like the thought just occurred to you, do you know that? And they'll say, know what? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And yeah, I think so. Well, I said, no, so. You get adversarial, and you get in a fist fight. I'm just kidding. But boy, anybody can hand him a track. And I know people that are borderline illiterate. And I'm not, it's not, again, they're elderly. I'm thinking of someone elderly in particular and didn't grow up with education. They went to work and the farm, and before they got through grade school, and this is a true story. And one of this, I'm thinking of a relative, and I'm not making fun of her, but I think it's comical. I think it's cute. And she goes, look, Betty, they're having free chicken over there. It was a bank offering free chicken. She could read just a little bit. And so she went in looking for free chicken and came out with a new checkbook. And that's a true story, and bless her heart. And I think it's cute, and she can laugh at herself. Very endearing. But, anybody can be some man. I can't read very well, but I know you can, and you need to read those verses right there. You can know for sure that you're going to heaven, and you can be totally sure of avoiding hell. And how can I accept some man should explain what Isaiah 50, who's he? Is he talking about himself? Is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? And Philip preached Christ. And you don't have to be a God-called, college-trained preacher to get the gospel out. Anybody can be some man. God's looking for a man. God said, "I found none." May that not be the case in your house. May that not be the case in Carver, Massachusetts, or your community. And we'll start here locally and then work nationally and internationally as you have a missions conference. And we'll reach anybody and everybody. If they can't hear, we'll have the deaf interpreters, and praise God for that. And Brother Shutt is quite a preacher. And he does pretty good with English. He does pretty good in his talking. And he's hilarious. He really is. And so, and I love Brother Shaw, but some man, you don't have to have my vocabulary is limited and I get tongue-tied and I'm not very eloquent and I'm not very well educated. No alibis, no excuses. You could be some man.
That's right.
And so God's looking for a man. Perhaps you could be some man. You don't necessarily want to be the man. And a certain man, the Bible talks about in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 33, fulfilled prophecy. Ahab, even though he disguised himself, God said, and Ahab said, "I'm not going to go to that preacher." "Why not?" Jehoshaphat said. "Well, he never prophesies good to me." And they went to him and said, "Yeah, guess what, Ahab? You're going to die." "See, I told you." And by the way, you need to hear, I know what the preacher's going to say. You need to hear it. Faith cometh by hearing. You could write down in some cases what he's going to say, but you need to hear it. And I need to hear it. You never graduate from that. And a certain man, the Bible says, a certain man drew a bow at a venture. Some think it was Naaman. History leans towards that, but we don't know. But he drew a bow at a venture, and a nameless, aimless man let that thing go, and it fulfilled prophecy and killed a king who disguised himself as somebody else. And so, you know, but we don't want to, I said yesterday, we don't leave our life to chance. Well, maybe God will use me to spite me. And by the way, just let it fly once in a while and do the best you can and shoot for the moon. And like the little boy shooting at the moon with a BB gun. Son, you can't hit the moon with a BB gun. Huh, come a whole lot closer than you will. And I like that. Aim high. And some cases don't even aim at all, but keep swinging for the fences. And Babe Ruth struck out more than anybody in the world. And why? Because he was a New York Yankee. And when he was a Red Sox, he was a 20-game winner, winning the World Series. And but nobody hit more home runs until, what, 1973? And so that comes. You're going to strike out a lot when you swing for the fences. And so you could be a certain man, perhaps, and you don't want to be this man in John chapter 5, verse 7. And why are you here? Why haven't you gotten to the pool and be healed? The man who was powerless to help himself, he said, I can't. And when the angel comes down to stir the water, somebody beats me to it. And if I had to time it right, I could almost fall in and use gravity to get me in there. But he said, I can't do that, and I'm always off by a few seconds and just missed it 1 year. I have no man to help me into the water. So consequently, I've been in this position, and of course, the God-man helped him out. And but no man, what a tragedy if you don't watch out. If you were to be a hero and or a zero, and I am no man. And boy, what a tragedy with how many ladies in America have no man to provide that security physically and financially and spiritually. A wicked mentality. Well, boys will be boys. Ladies, you stay at home and take care of the kids, and I'm a good timing boy. I'm a good old boy looking for a good time, and boys ought to grow up and become men. If you don't watch out, boys grow old without ever growing up, and the wife and the kids have no man. And boy, there are cities and towns and villages and hamlets all across America, yea, the world, who have no man, no man of God to open the Scriptures. But if you don't watch out, you'll be that guy that didn't show up. I could have been. I would have been. And but this hypothetical lifestyle, you didn't actually do what God intended you to do, and you become no man. We don't want to be that man. And we find plenty of no man, so to speak. You know, Samson in Judges chapter 16, verse 17, and finally when he succumbed to Delilah's provocative attempts to get the truth from him, and she began to cry. And of course, it's not fair when a lady cries, and usually that works pretty well. Okay. And he said, listen, I'm going to come clean. He said, and I think this was strike three for the Nazarite vow. They weren't supposed to touch anything that was dead. At that point, he already got honey out of the carcass out of a dead lion, and the carcass of a dead lion, and that was located in the vineyard. The Bible doesn't say he took grapes, but Samson's not known for his temperance. I find it hard to believe he walked through that vineyard more than one occasion without grabbing a handful of grapes. And now he said, strike three. He said, listen, if you cut my hair, exactly what he said in Judges 16, verse 17, he said, I will be like any other man. And I'm not just talking to men when I preach this message. And God forbid, though, that we should be like any other man or any other woman and any other lady. And again, I made the statement yesterday, you're not better than them, the unsaved world, but we're better than that, the sin, the muck, the mire, because of the grace of God. We're not better than anybody else, no doubt about that. And God doesn't love us more than he loves anybody else, but we're better than, you're a child of the King. You have royal blood flowing through you because of the grace of God, and you're better than the habits and the vices and the addictions of the world. We're better than that because of God. And but I will be like any other man, and I have enough gumption, I have enough pride, and I'm sure it's just that, pride. But I don't want to be average, and I don't want to wallow in mediocrity, and I don't want to stand before Christ at the judgment seat. How was your life? It's all right. All right. It's pretty good. Pretty good. It's okie dokie. And we can do better than okie dokie and pretty good and all right. And God says, wait a minute, I gave you America. And I gave you the land of ridiculous, unprecedented plenty. I gave you a man of God preaching the words of God. Gave you my book. I gave you fun of it. I gave you youth conferences and youth rallies. I gave you camps and I gave you Christian education, whether it's homeschooled or a school in the area. And I gave you colleges. I gave you, boy, I gave it all. And your life was okay. That's not okay. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we get motivated and persuade men. We're persuaded to persuade. And you need to realize that. And well done. Not well done. Well, I did my duty. The guy who did his duty was found to be slothful and insufficient. And God forbid, you know, pornography is a $1 billion industry in America. I saw this yesterday at the airport. And a lady was not dressed appropriately and dressed in such a way to design men to catch their eye and to cause men to lust. And of course, that's wrong to do that. And you know, in some cases, people don't know better, but she knew better. She knew exactly what she was doing. And I noticed. And I'm a red-blooded American male. The reason we don't go to the beach in the summer and go beach preaching, if you can walk down the beach and quote the 23rd Psalm in the middle of summer, and so we don't, you know, just fly over and drop some tracks, do something. But I'm being somewhat tongue-in-cheek and facetious when I say that. However, what I do, and I'm just like everybody, we're all of like passions. You know, Elijah was a man of like passions. I watched the man watch her, and I said, I don't want to be like every other and any other man. Anybody can do that. It's so average and typical and predictable, and I'm not better than them, but I'm better than that. And so, and I'm talking about the woman when I say that. She can get saved and forgiven like anybody else, and God loves her like he loves me, and he's not a respecter of persons, but I don't want to be like any other man because of the grace of God. And again, God gives the grace, we'll give him the glory, but I will be like, if you cut my hair, Delilah, I'll be like any other man. He wist not the Lord had departed from him. When the Philistines came, he thought it was going to be like every other time, but what made Samson great was his strength. What gave Samson his strength was the Lord. And so the Lord is what makes us anything that's good or great about us. But I don't want to be like any other man. And they're a dime a dozen. You can find them anywhere and everywhere. And by the way, greatness is measured in so many different. Greatness is routine. Greatness is predictability. And greatness is providing a living and not chasing the pot of gold that's elusive at the end of the rainbow and say, this is what. And greatness, boy, if you have validity in your wife's here and say, honey, this is what we're going to do. And she believes you and subscribes to it. My husband says, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. He says, this is what we're going to go. That's where we're going to go. He says, this is what we're going to see. You can pretty much mark it out as what we're going to see. And Lord willing, of course, but like any other man. And then this is my message this morning. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter number 9. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. God sought for a man, but he found none. I believe God is still looking for a man, and this is the kind of man he's looking for. When God was looking for a man to be the king of Israel, and he said, Samuel, and Samuel took it personally. He was the last of the judges, and the people said, we don't want a judge. We want a monarch. We want a king. We want a man that the whole world can look to. We want royal garb. We want the pageantry, the pomp and circumstance. We want the palace, and we want a national symbol. And Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. I got a young man. He's a choice young man. He's a big fella. He's head and shoulders physically above the rest of the crowd, but he's small in his own sight. And Samuel approaches the young man that God picked out himself by the name of Saul. And at the time, Saul was a sharp young man. And he comes to him and he says, God wants you to be the first king of Israel. Saul, congratulations. Verse 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 9. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite and of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? And wherefore then speakest thou so to me? He said, listen. I'm from the smallest family and the smallest tribe and the smallest nations, and I can't, and felt unqualified, and ironically that qualified him. But he said, I can't, no uncertain terms, I can't do it. There's no way in the world I can do it. I can't. And you're looking at the, I beg to differ. I don't want to be insubordinate, disrespectful, but you're wrong. You got the wrong man. And I can't do it. And Samuel concurred. He said, yes, you and by yourself, you can't do it. However, 1 Samuel chapter 10, in most cases, you look across the page, verse 6, 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord, Saul, will come upon you, and thou shalt be prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Another man. God's looking for another man. God's looking for another woman. I'm overwhelmed, and I can't. And boy, the preacher gets up and tells me I don't do this and this and this and this and this, and whatever you do, don't do this and this and this and this, and the things I would, I do not, the things I would not, that I do, and I can't. I'm overwhelmed with the preaching of the Word of God, and I know what he's saying is true, and I just can't. I can't live this life, and who am I trying to kid? I can't be the spouse I'm supposed to be. I can't be the provider with this economic atmosphere that we find ourselves in America. I'm having a hard time keeping up. I'm having a hard time. Boy, I'm pouring my heart into the kids, but I'm so busy to rear myself, and I'm doing the best I can, and that doesn't seem to be sufficient, and I just nothing. I'm not doing anything good, and I can't. You're right. You can't, but another man can. A man filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was metamorphosized. He morphed, to use the modern vernacular, and he was transformed into another man. And, well, that's what we need. And now later on, Saul would get puffed up because of the celebrity and because of the success of the Holy Spirit, blessing his every effort. But boy, that's what we need. When's the last time, I asked rhetorically, and the Holy Spirit, help me, help me, help me, help me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I'll probably sing this morning, oh, wow, I love Jesus. And I know if I love you, I keep your commandments. And I make little or no attempt to do that most of the time. Unless I'm out in public, God, forgive me, boy. And you're an awesome God, but I'm an awful person. And I'm an awful child of God. And you get the credit and you get the glory. But God, I need help. I need omnipotent aid. And omnipotence is available. You can't do it, but with the Holy Spirit, a member of the Godhead, omnipotent aid is available for whosoever will. You could be turned into another person. You could be that mom. You could be that wife, and not in that order, that lady that God intended you to be, a lady in every sense of the word. And so some of the greatest ladies I know are tough as nails internally. But that balance, that elusive balance, men. And by the way, has nothing to do with stature. Now, absolutely, some of the biggest men I know are not tall of stature. Now, I know some big men, and they're big in stature, and they're big in heart, and they're big in character, and that's awesome. And that's the whole package for sure. But I know men. I got a man, and I think the same case last year, Bill Boyd, and teaching my Sunday school class in my absence, hasn't lifted himself out of his own chair in the last decade, but it lifts the hearts and hopes of missionaries across the planet every day with modern technology and email with Bible promises. That's a big man. And he can't even brush his own teeth and groom himself and take care of hygiene and a great lady. Even more so, Cricket, his wife, who has health problems and perennial pain and in her shoulders and many operations, and what a great lady. And she said, for better, for worse. No one's thinking about that when they say worse. It's just something you say. Yeah, you mean it, but you don't think it's going to come to fruition. And it's been that way for a decade plus. And what a great lady, what a great man. But that's another man, the Holy Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by your determination and your willpower. It's not by your resolve. It's not by, boy, I'll tell you what, read my lips. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do it. Could you be a little more specific? But we get so determined. And again, we don't even have credibility in our own. That's it. Never again. And, you know, you go to God, and I say this often, God, I'll never do it again. I'm going to do it again, aren't I? Today? And that's like, God, why you don't kill me is beyond me. And I think I went there last year. But praise the Lord for the grace of God. But we need God. What an understatement. We need God. You think? I hope you think. And I hope you realize the necessity of getting God involved in every nook and cranny. God, I need you professionally. I need you personally. I need you daily. Without you, my life expectancy would be less than a second. I would drop to the floor and be dead before I hit. My body was stationary. And God, every fiber of my being, every molecule, every cell desperately needs thee. I'm totally reliant on thee, God. And the audacity of me to attribute my success to me. And I become intoxicated with unbroken success. We need to realize God's hand in our life, sometimes despite our pride. But another man, be not drunk with wine, were in his excess. Ephesians 5:18 says, but be filled with the Spirit. He's talking to every child of God there. Be filled with the Spirit. It's nothing spooky. It's not about, okay, I can feel the Holy Spirit. By the way, Pentecost, like a mighty rushing wind, the only sensation was they heard it like a wind. They didn't feel it. Their hair wasn't getting blown back. There's no feeling except they heard like a wind. It sounded like a wind, but it didn't feel like a wind. And we're governed by feeling. Did you feel it? I felt it. I didn't feel anything. Don't worry about what you great men don't rely on feelings. Feelings come and feelings go, and you'll be volatile and mercurial at best. And so you know what? And Holy Spirit, I've got to have you. And again, the alcohol will make you do things you normally wouldn't do, and go up to a total stranger and pick a fight, and liquid courage, and you override your inhibitions that you shouldn't, and you do things you normally wouldn't do. The Holy Spirit will make you do things you normally wouldn't do. Like get up here and sing in front of God and everybody, knock on a door, listen now, young people, and talk to them about Jesus Christ. Well, that's something supernatural. Go up to a total stranger. Even more difficult, go up to a loved one and tell them how they can stay out of hell. And that's the Holy Spirit I've got to have here, and no doubt about it. I was telling the young people yesterday, first time I won someone to Christ, Fort Bragg. I'm a sergeant, and they were a private. I could have put them at parade rest, but boy, you would have thought I was a private and that was a sergeant. Noticeable trepidation and shaking, and it was, I have no idea what I said, but he wanted to get saved. Really? And prayed, despite me, the Lord blessed. But Lord, I've got to have you. And by the way, how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks always. And it's not spooky. I preached that last year, I guess, how to be spiritual. And it's not, well, how can I get in the line when I thought I would want to die? You know, it's nothing weird like that. It's like, hey, man, how you doing? Welcome to Faith Baptist Church. Welcome to Faith Baptist Church. Can I help you? And so that's what I'm talking about. Another man. You know, when Saul got puffed up and he got proud, and I'm almost done. But when he got puffed, he forfeited his right to be the king. And God said, I'm looking for another man. I'm looking for a man after mine own heart. And of course, David was that choice. You could ask David, you can't ask him, he's not going to answer audibly, but if we were to ask David, David, what's your secret? David with your harp, and David with your crown, and David with your sling, and David the author of all those psalms, and what's your secret? We could go, and David could take us there in 1 Samuel and chapter 16, verse 13, when Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. How about when Gideon was hiding from the Midianites threshing wheat, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, hey, Gideon, mighty man of valor. He went, oh, my Lord, who are you talking to? You're a mighty man of valor. Talking about me? He already bought out the Army Navy surplus store, whose camouflage had, you know, twigs and stuff sticking out, looked like a tennis tree with tennis shoes sticking out of it. Ding, 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 ding. He's hiding. The mighty man of valor. And I guess he was brave for threshing wheat at night to provide for a family. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you'll be turned into, if I may, a mighty man of valor. And that's in Judges 6:34, where the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And again, Samson, the only thing that made Samson great was the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He derived the power, evidently not the purity, from the Holy Spirit. And everything he did, it was prefaced by the Holy Spirit of God coming upon him. And we could go on and on with biblical and historical and even personal illustrations, but it's not a weird thing. It's not a spooky thing. But boy, we need to say, Holy Spirit, I need you. And boy, I'm almost humanistic and atheistic, I guess, because I only believe that which moves you to action. I don't pray as much as I ought to, but several times punctuate your day with, God, help me. God, help me, help me, help me, help. I'm not even sure what help I need, God. I don't even know what to pray for, and the Holy Spirit alters our prayers because they're really inaccurate. God, I'm constrained by time. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you're already there, and you're already in next week, and you're already past the millennium. You're past chronology. You're before the world was, and you're after it ends, and you're looking at the whole thing like we live our life as a tale that's told. And so, God, I don't know what to pray for, but if I may, help. I told the young people yesterday, I'm sure I mentioned it last year, the greatest prayer I ever prayed was at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, on a road called Ardennes after a World War II battlefield, and we ran PT there every thousands of miles we ran in the course of time while I was there. But one day, it was Super Bowl Monday, it was the Monday after the Bears beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 20, 46-10 in overtime. No, it was over when they had the coin toss. I think we lost the coin toss, and it was over right about there. And we actually led 3-0, but we got out of school. We gave up the next 46 unanswered points. And that was 1985, and I won't go into detail, but that was rock bottom. The Patriots was just the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. And again, I wasn't going to church. I didn't have a clue. And but I was saved as a boy. I'd get assurance later on, but I was saved. The Holy Spirit was in there. And for the first time in years, and we stopped the run because they knew it was the Monday after the Super Bowl, and the guys had been sleep deprived, and they had alcohol. You could smell it being perspired and sweated from every pore, and a disgusting smell for sure as you're in a formation and surrounded by guys. And I couldn't even feel the lower half of my body, and I just barely audibilized the prayer. And I said, God, again, it wasn't, oh God, oh God. You don't have to be spooky like that. The Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim and Naphtali and Dan and Issachar, oh God. And oh, the Lord that's loving this ship. You don't have to do that. I just said, God, help. That's the only prayer I prayed. That's all I knew to pray. 48 hours was approached by three different total strangers inviting me to church, and I started to go. And the rest is my personal history. But ask the Lord to help. God, help me. I don't even think I need help right now. And that's an indictment on me, God. Help, help, help. I want to be turned into, listen now, another man. I want to be a man in every sense of the word. Every category, I want to be category, every category I can imagine, Lord, I want to provide. And yes, physically, I want to protect my family, financially, spiritually. That's the problem I have a hard time with, Lord. And help me be the spiritual leader. And I don't have a natural, it's not part of my natural wiring. Good. How about supernatural wiring? You got rewired when you got born again. You became a new man and another man. The one thing, I run RU, Reformers Unanimous, the addiction program there in Hammond. And the one thing with our efforts in local law enforcement agencies and from judges down to probation officers, the one thing they cannot explain is the changed life. They'll call it a religious. And I heard a guy say, well, the only permanent change we've seen is that religious experience they seem to have in jail sometimes. That means they got born again. The Holy Spirit came to dwell. We have omnipotence that has availed itself to us. We need to realize, utilize, capitalize on God each and every day. Sometimes even saying grace when we're praying to God, and sometimes that's the only prayer we pray that day, but it becomes perfunctory and we don't actually think about how good we have it. And the biggest problem we have this afternoon is, what do I want to eat? Where do I want to eat? We've got it made. We ought to praise God, but better yet, pray for His divine involvement and cooperation in our life. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We are right on time. But I wonder if you're here this morning, you say, Brother Teft, and I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure the Holy Spirit, and all the terms you use kind of went over my head. It's kind of foreign to me. But in fact, I'm sure that I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I do not know I'm going to heaven. If I were to die, I know I'm going to, but if I were to die today, I don't think I'd be in heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Amen. Amen. I appreciate the young lady that raised her hand this morning in Sunday school, and again, I appreciate that. A young man raised his hand. That's wonderful. I appreciate the honesty and the transparency and the candor. Lord, I pray today will be the day this young lady, and if needs be this young boy, gets it settled once and for all where they're going to spend forever. Lord, you love them. May they sense and even feel how much you actually love them, how much you want to save them. You want to save more than they could ever want to be saved. Lord, may today be the day they get it settled. With heads bowed and eyes closed, say, Brother Teff. And by the way, folks, none of us have arrived. I can't tell you how many times I feel inadequate for the jobs that are given to me. And again, I'm not just talking about the ministry, I'm talking about personally. And boy, my wife deserves better, my children deserve better, my class students deserve better. And insufficient are all of us, for all have sinned and come short. It's kind of frustrating being a human, and a saved human even, because we fall miserably, pathetically short. We need God. So, Brother Teff, God spoke to my heart today. I want to be turned into another man or another lady, another person. I need and I'm going to incorporate by asking the Holy Spirit to help me. Help. I want to be another man. I want God to find that person in my home. I want God to find that person in Carver, Massachusetts. I want God to find that person in Faith Baptist Church and or more people like that. I want Him to use me, and I want my life to impact eternity. I want my life to count and matter. God spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I appreciate that. Why don't we stand to our feet? The music plays. The altar's open. Won't you come and ask the Holy Spirit to help you this morning? In some cases, we don't know what it is. Altar's open.